16. Hebrews 12, begin with verse 11. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, or by the chastening. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail or fall from the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. And you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Let's ask the Lord to bless this. Amen. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight to worship. Come to give thanks, honor, praise where it is due. All praise, honor, and glory, strength, and everything belongeth unto thee. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. We are what we are by the grace of God. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above, and every good and perfect gift cometh down from you. We are recipients of your divine grace. We're beggars. Everything we get is a handout. And the crumbs, even just the crumbs, are more than we deserve. Yet you have prepared us a whole table in the presence of our enemies. The gospel table full of fat things, wine on the lid. Solomon's table was scanty provisions compared to the riches, unsearchable riches that are found in the gospel of Christ. And Lord, our capacity is such that we cannot receive much. We are as little children most of the time when it comes to your hearing the word. We confess that we need milk. We are unable to take much strong meat. It's our fault. We take the blame. We take full blame. We ought to be teachers and so on. So we come to you and ask that you would heal our dull hearing, open our blind eyes, break these sin-hardened hearts, our minds be transformed, these minds, these worldly minds. Let us not be conformed. Rather transform. And this all comes through the hearing of your word. What a powerful thing your word is if you use it on us, in us, So give glory to yourself. Give glory to your word. You said you magnified your word above all your name and all your character, all that you are. You magnified your word. Man's as good as his word, only as good as his word. And, oh Lord, your word is so good. Such a revelation yourself. Such a marvelous insight into the mind and will and purpose of our God. Lord, make it known unto us. And may we be doers of what, not hearers only. We need to hear it well. And you must give us ears to hear, heart to receive. We need to be hearers of the word, but along with hearing, we need to be doers of what. Not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. Lord, what good is your word to us if we hear it and say we believe it and yet don't act upon it? We've not really learned, we've not really been taught by the Spirit. So, order our steps in thy word, that no iniquity have dominion over us. We're not, you said it wouldn't, you said sin would not have dominion over us, but we're not under the law, we're under grace. So be gracious to us. Honor your word. Use it on us. We pray to conform us to the image of your Son, which you have ordained by all your people. Let us not be as Esau. Let us not be as Cain. Let us not be as Judas. We're not one whit better by nature. But by your grace, we pray that you might keep us from falling, from sinning against grace, mercy. Those who consider vanities forsake their mercies. So Lord, let us consider him. Let us look to him. Let us follow after him. We pray that with all those who call upon the name of the Lord, we need one another. We ask that you would bind our hearts, not only to you, but to one another. We need one another. Exhort one another daily. And so much more as we see that great, fearful, and terrible day of the Lord approaching. We pray for these that we've mentioned. We pray for Brother Bill Clark, Lord. We hold him up before you and ask your healing mercy upon him. For your glory, for the furtherance of the gospel, for the good of the church today, for the good of men and women all over the world who are blessed through this preaching. Lord, raise him up. In many more years, as Hezekiah of old. We pray for the radio program, Lord. We ask that you would use it in our community. You call somebody to hear your voice, give wisdom to know what to say and expression and how to say it. And give hearing ears to hear it, a willing mind, receptive heart. Bring them to hear this gospel. Save their souls for your glory. We'll give you the glory. Encourage the church. And we ask your forgiveness of our sin. We ask all these things. We pray and meet together tonight in that matchless name of Jesus Christ. For his honor and glory, he asks that you honor us with your presence. Amen. Okay. As we've said so many times, scriptures are full of warnings and promises. promises and warning, comfort and correction. This has been the nursery crew by me. I believe it's Evan, Andy, Evan, okay. With me? Anybody feel something enough that they look aware of? Scripture is full of promises and warnings, comfort, correction, encouragement, admonition. And Hebrews, the book of Hebrews, perhaps more has more of these things than any other book. If you've been following closely with me, you've seen that. It's full of blessed promises. Starts out from the very beginning, telling us, pointing us to Christ, who He is. In chapter 1, who Christ is, and how much better He is than the angels, and Aaron, and the priesthood, and the law, and so on and so forth. What a blessed promise. And then He starts with one. In chapter 3 and 4, about the Israelites, who heard the same gospel we did, the Lord makes you faith, but they didn't go in. See that? Promise, promise, blessed promise. Christ gives promise. All the promises of God are in Him. And they're yet and again the glory of God. And then He starts warning. None of us are immune to following Him. And He warns and warns, and He promises, and He warns, and He promises, and He warns, and He promises. And here in chapter 12, and these verses we've just read, there are many warnings and promises, comforts and corrections that are desperately needed. Now, he's been talking about chastening. It started in verse 11. He said, no chastening for the present seeming to be joyous, but grievous. Now, chastenings are corrections from God. Corrections. And he said, if you be without them, you're not a child of God. Every child needs correction. No child that's been born didn't need straightened out. I mean, long years of, right? Years. And so God corrects His people in various ways we're going to look at in a moment. But here, and I brought this to your mind as it was brought to my mind by Brother Elmore. God in His wisdom, mercy and His goodness, He does more correcting with His word than anything else. God does more correction or chastening with His word than anything else, just like a wise parent does. A wise parent talks more to his child than he does whips him. A whole lot more verbal correction than corporal. Right? Constantly talking to your child. If you're a good parent at all, you constantly instructing. And though the child thinks you're pounding and badgering and just won't stay off their case, you love them and you're so constantly correcting them. All right? Let me embarrass my daughter a little bit. I'm all the time getting on to about posture. You know, and your parents did the same. They said that. I didn't sit up front. And, but the ramifications of poor posture are dramatic. There's times when she thinks, I just keep pounding her back. I'm going to until she just walks right out of time. And she starts doing that, I'll quit. Right? And until we straighten up, God's not going to quit correcting it. All right? He does it with His word. Isn't that mercy? Isn't that great? When you think of God's chastening, don't think of Him hurting us, taking something away from us, or doing something. That more with His word. Alright, it says true chastening. Any chastening is not joyous, but it's grievous. A real, true correction or chastening, a lesson learned, most of the time was painful. Because of grief, whether it be physical, you know, I've seen women so-called spank their children, you don't stop that, I don't want to hit you. If you don't stop that, you know, if they say that 100 times, I'm going, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then finally, whack, 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 and the kid goes, that's not correct. That's not chastity. It's got hurt. But they got to remember that I don't want another one of those. I remember that. You ever get a licking, Joe? Dad ever give you a licking that you remember you said, I ain't going to do that again. It's got to be painful. And emotionally, and physically, in order to be learned. All right? So that's what he said. And it's not joyous, it's grievous. But afterward, verse 11. All right? Verse 11. After the chastening, it yielded the peaceable fruit of righteousness. The peaceable fruit of righteousness. Or peace-giving, peace-filling righteousness. Peaceable fruit. Right now, listen, you know these things. You know righteousness and salvation is imputed by Christ. This is all our salvation, imputed righteousness. And all those whom Christ imputes his righteousness to, the Holy Spirit imparts righteousness. We are made partakers, Peter said, of the divine nature. And how is that? Well, it's a process. The Holy Spirit is conforming us, pulling off everything on the divine nature. Imparted. Righteous living. Righteousness imparted. Here's this talks about the peaceable fruit of righteousness. What's the peaceable fruit of righteousness? Well, Galatians 5 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Fruit. Not fruits, but fruit. Character. So there are many characteristics. It is the character of Christ, you see, that we're being conformed. Alright? That's what this is talking about. Chastening, that's what it's for. Makes like Christ. Alright? Peace comes by Christ's blood. Peace with God. Peace of conscience. And yet there's a peace in being in the will of God. Peace and I'm not talking about self-satisfaction. I'm not talking about being satisfied with yourself. And then let me say this. There's no peace in sin. No rest. There's no peace in it. But I remember, you know, the times when I was, you know, I had done something and I was, you know, guilty and finally, and I wasn't found out yet. And, I just was miserable. Finally got found out and got looking for it, and I feel better. And Stan would say now, that makes sense now. All right. Chastening is the subject, and chastening is to conform us to Christ in it, to remove sin from us. What God removed sin from us. Christ removed sin from us, from our record, blotted out. Sins got to be removed from us today. All right? Chastening from God comes in many different ways. You chasten your children according to their personality, right? Many times you chase the same way. But according to their personality, you know, one's stronger than the other, and one's male, one's female. There's just different ways that you chase your children according to the wisdom and discretion you have. Right? So it is with God. What's chasing this man, he might not use on that. chastening comes in many forms. Number one, like I said, it's His Word. God's Word. All. He uses His Word on all His children. Events, sin, so for trials. We all go through trials. Now listen, trials aren't always disciplinary actions. You understand what I'm saying? People don't always go through trials because God's chastening them or disciplining them for doing something wrong. That's not trials that strengthen your faith. God sends trials. Remember Job. God commended Job and sent hard trials on him. Christ had no sin. But some trials are disciplinary actions on God's part, correction. Trials, so God used His Word, God used trials. You parents, have you ever used this ploy on your children to chase them? Silence. Don't say anything. Don't ignore them. You children, you all of us here were children, our children. Did it ever bother you when your parents knew that they were ignoring you, that they were giving you the silent treatment? Did you just confess or something? Leaving you alone, God do that. Leave you alone, leave you yourself. Peter. God had to convince Peter of his pride, didn't he? Oh, Peter boasted, you know. He's full of pride, full of self-righteousness. How did Christ convince him of that? How did he deal with him? How did he discipline Peter on the left hand to himself? You ever done that to your child, right? Leave you alone. Let them fall into trouble. Many disciplinary, different chastenings by God. Death, privations, hardships, to many things. Many numerous ways, and we don't know only to God. We don't know His ways. His ways are past time and that, but we know some of them. And then after the chastening, whatever it may be, after we may feel lonely, may feel down, just like your children. After the child's been chastened, they cannot have been hanged. Look at verse 12. He says, lift up the hands which hang down. Hang down. You ever see your boys do that joke? You lift them up. That's the first primary. We're going to talk about three things here. We're going to talk about hanging hands, feeble knees, and lame feet. It says hanging hands. That's in dejection. You know, it all gets so dejected, get down, get dirty, and sinful, and God sends chastening in various ways. And just hang our head, hang our hands. And He said, lift up your hands. Lift up, hold your hands without laughing. What mother in here ever turned away a child is reaching out? No matter how bad it is. Lift up those hands in heaven. He'll receive you every time. I don't care what you've done. But then, listen now. We have hanging hands at times, that's comfort in that. That's encouragement in that. Here's the review. Our hands hang down, and we don't lift them up enough in praise. That's what you know I'm not talking about. God's not working in His hand, literally, but figuratively. Hands aren't lifted up enough in praise. If they were lifted up more in praise, we'd exercise the hands a little more in praise, it'd be a little less hanging down. If our mouth were more turned up and praised the song and smiling and all that, it'd be less than the rest of that. But people that are continually in a habit of smiling, they smile a lot.
less.
There's less of this. People are all the time doing this, but none now he's hanging. Isn't that right? The couple's hanging. He won't praise him. Here's another thing, not lifted up enough in service. You don't use your hands, be weak. Hanging hand, what's hanging hand? Not doing anything. Lift them up. Lift them up to God and worship. God's people and serve. All right, here's the next thing. He says, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Feeble knees. You have feeble knees. You might have feeble knees. I'm talking about your arthritis, Nancy. Or your bursitis, or whatever. But I'm right here is a woman with bad knees. I'll be talking about her. That's bad. But I'm talking about knees that just won't buckle under whatever. Buckle under. One quit, ready to faint. You ever fainted? What happens first is your legs buckle on you. And that's what he's talking about here. Ready to faint. He said, lest you faint in your own minds. He said that in another place. People need it. Lift them up. My salvation draws now. Don't do it now. It's almost over. He'll hold you up a little while longer, just long enough. Lift them up. Well, here's nothing, but that's the comfort. Here's the ammunition. Our knees get weak. And you know what I'm going to say. If you don't bend your knees much, they'll be weak. All right? Bend them in prayer. Remember when Christ washed the disciples' feet? What did he have to do? How did he do that? How did he wash my feet? And he just stand up. But there's two areas we're greatly deficient in, I'm sure. If you're like me, they're weak in this, the knees in prayer and service. The exercise needs in both areas. All right, here's another thing. He says in verse 13, and let straight paths for your feet. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Let it rather be healed. Lame feet. Lame feet. You know what the word of God is going to be on this one, don't you? I'll just say one word. We're going to feel the chair. Anybody lame on both legs? King says, catch them. And bring them into this house of wine. They were like the king's son. Put lame feet and hidden on them. Hidden in Christ. Lame feet. But now here's the admonition. Crooked feet. Turn wrong. Our feet. Sad to say, too often walking in lack of work. For sex. Walking for self. Have direction to do something. For self. Like the world. Feet. He says, make straight paths for your feet. Straight paths. So, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. So he said, make straight paths for your feet. What's that mean? Have your feet always in the way. What? Why? Well, you turn them in this direction tonight. You got to live in the right direction tonight. Everybody here is feet pointed toward the gospel right now. You pointed your feet in the direction of where Christ is. That's good. That's strengthening your feet. You come here and get your feet shot. There's an old saying among horse people, no feet, no horse. No feet, no horse. A bad feet, that's worthless animal. They have nothing with no feet, because nothing with me. And so we believe with a good, I mean with a human being, a walk of faith. And, you know, using the horses again as an example, if those horses go very long without being shod or the feet trimmed, that gets bad and that gets total plumb money. They'll go plumb money. Have to be trimmed and shod in the same way with God's people. Our feet turn out of the way. Are you hearing? I know you are. Very easy to understand. Let your feet always be pointed in the direction of where Christ is and where Christ's people are. And get them shod and trimmed. Christ will wash your feet. You come here, he'll wash your feet. We need washing, don't we? Oh, we're clean every week. We're not feet.
Since Christ is our peace. Listen. Scripture says he is our peace. So follow him. Follow him. Follow peace. And follow those that follow him. Where are you going? Yeah. Same thing we were talking about. Where are you going? I'm going to worship. Go to. What are you standing in line for? Again, I'm going to get the blessing. Stand there too. I will. Follow peace. Follow Christ. Follow them. Who follow Christ? Look at verse 22. Flee also youthful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, love, peace. See it? Follow peace. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. People that aren't playing games, but people that come to worship God in spirit, rejoice in Christ, with no conscience of that. Wherever those are, go where they are. Follow them. Sit down with them. Follow people. And this is also, you know, talking about being a peacemaker. Peacemaker. Remember our Lord said, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called the children of God. Peacemaker. Somebody who's always easily offended, somebody who's always always on the defensive, somebody who's always stirring up something. No, sir. God said, that's peacemaker. It's those peace. Righteousness, righteous, some peace for them to make peace. Peace, peace, peace. David said, I'm at peace. So therefore, war. Remember when David said that? What about our Lord? When he was revived by him. Peace. He is peace personified. So he said to us at the same time. Especially. And you remember the scripture that says, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. But in the context here in Hebrews, he's talking about your brothers. We can't live with these people He that loveth not knoweth not God. How can a man say he loves God when he doesn't love his brother? He gets all put out with somebody's brother. Really? How? Well, listen to this. In Romans 14, it says here, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. James said, in many things we all offend. Everybody in here, by starting right up here, we're just offensive by nature. And we are, it wouldn't be easy to be offended because we're offensive creatures. But be a peacemaker. Follow peace. Follow it. Peaceable. Edify things which make for peace. Love, think of no evil. Marry all things, hope of all things. Rejoice in not in the negative, but in the truth. All right? Be a peacemaker. And look at this. He says, follow peace. Christ is our peace in Hebrews 12. And follow holiness. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now Christ is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, and holiness. Right? He is our holiness. Right? He is our righteousness. If you found in Him, you're going to see the Lord. Yes, you're going to be with the Lord. Life is hid with Him. And God, you're going to see the Lord. You're covered. Holiness. Follow holiness. He is our righteousness. Alright? And we're not going to see the Lord either. And in the context here, He hadn't gotten out of the context. We're not going to see the Lord unless we're like Christ. That's right. So I don't understand. Yes, we do. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I've made a mistake before of taking that verse out of context. Certainly. Principal application of anything is the Spirit is one and that Christ is our holiness. But in the context, He's been talking about chasing us and making us like Christ, hasn't He? Huh? He's been talking about making us like Christ, chastening us. And if we say we don't understand, it says, follow holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow after, pursue. That's what follow means. Pursue holiness. In another passage, it says, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. So I don't understand. Yes, we do. Right here it is. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. They just won't do it. That means continual. And we've looked at this before, how all, you know, believers are prone to many things and can fall and do just about anything. But they don't practice this thing. That's the sense here. And so look at verse 11. Such were some of you, but you washed. Now you sanctified, you justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. And he goes on in that chapter to talk about all the things of lawful and all our expedient, all not conforming to Christ. And that's what Paul said, let us lay aside every weight and sin that easily beset us. Follow Christ, follow holiness. Is that works? Certainly not. That's just want to be like Christ. Man doesn't want to be like Christ, he's not going to see Christ. And when God's begun to work in a man, it's gonna show up. Like that little girl said, Christ is in the belly, stick out, woman. It sure will. more and more. The person who grows old and grows cantankerous and mean and so forth doesn't have Christ in them. Or the person who grows old and grows gracious and more merciful. That's the whole point. Whole point. Be found in him, be made like him. Right? That's what I mean. And then what Paul said in Philippians 3, God wants the man Christ to be found in him, not in my own righteousness, which is under law, but that righteousness which God by faith, of Christ Jesus. Oh, I don't want to conform on that. But the power of his resurrection, right? And dead to the world. Well, look at now. Here's your strength. All right, here's your encouragement. How do we do all this? We feel so weak, and you know, and all that. He goes right back where he starts, man. Looking diligently. Looking diligently. Because without him, you can't do anything. You can try your best, be like Christ, but without Christ, you can't be like Christ. Right? So look diligently. Never take your eyes off him. Never quit calling on him. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Does ask who that man is? Christ Jesus, it is he, and he must win the battle. He must fight for it. He must go before it. Look diligently. All right, look at them. Now, does this trouble you, this verse 15? Look diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, many be defiled. Lest any fall from the grace of God. All right, here's the comfort. We'll give you some words of comfort, then we'll give you words of warning. All right? Here's the comfort. You can't fall. On the grace of God. Christ said, I give unto them. Who's the grace of God? I asked that question first. Who is the grace of God? The gift of God. Christ said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. It shall remain but them. It's impossible. Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ? Shall that? Nobody. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. He doesn't take them back. Faithful as he has called you, he'll do it. You can't. You mean once in grace, always in grace? Yes. Exactly what Christ is. Once in Christ, always in Christ. Now that's the comfort. Now here's the warning. And I'm not talking out two sides on that. It's not yay and nay preaching here. I'll explain. Here's the warning. Paul's been giving warning. You forsake the assembly of yourself together. If you sin willfully, that means reject or do whatever. You don't lay aside and wait and sin that's so easily beset, you consume with whatever and forsake the assembly. If you're a hearer only, you will prove. What we will prove is that we're, like John said, they went out from us because they were not of us. Because if they were of us, they no doubt would have continued with it. No doubt. Why? Because what God does is forever. Right? God's done, begun a work, he's going to perform it. If a man leaves, he never was of God. And all these things are just telltale signs, possible signs. But they're not under grace. They're under confirmation. Now here's what the world says. The world says a man can accept or reject the grace of God. No. That's what the world said. A man can accept or reject the grace of God. Well, half of that's true. Now, salvation is 100% by the grace of God. Nobody's going to receive the grace of God unless it be given him by God. Nobody's going to choose, if you will, until he chooses that. Nobody's going to love God unless he first loves that. Nobody's going to believe unless God gives them the gift. Nobody's going to repent. Salvation is 100% by the sovereign grace of God. We don't accept him. You know that. We're accepted in the blood. Alright? And he keeps us by his power. We're not kept by our own power. He makes us willing. And I tell you what, man can reject the grace of God. That much is true. A man can reject the grace of God. And that happens many ways. If people, how many visitors have we had come in here? How many over the years? Think about the years before I was here, some of them. And just nearly 10 years I've been here. How many have you seen come in here? And some stay a while and leave. What do? They fell from grace. They rejected the grace of God. They proved, and see in context here, he gives Esau. He gives Esau as an illustration of it, as a character witness, if you will. And he wasn't of us, or he no doubt would have. If Esau had been of God, he no doubt would have. Cain had been of God, he brought blood. Right? Some sin against grace, presume upon it. And people, it's not over. The window's not over. Like I said, full of promises, blessed promises. There's enough promises tonight to make us all. Just lift us up. Hang in hand, people. Along the lines. Better people than starting right here. Better preachers than myself. See, we need you more. Not there yet. Paul said, I'm going to follow after. I'm going to follow after that for which I'm apprehended, that I might apprehend. It's not as though I already attained, but this is one thing. Forget yesterday. Today's the next salvation. Well, and let me close with these verses right here. It says, verse 15, a root of bitterness. Now, here's a real telltale sign. Oh, my. I wish we had a whole message to work on this. Because this is so subtle and yet so damning. Root of bitterness. Bitterness toward God. This happens. People, some God sends some trial. God sends something in somebody's life. You know, God sends a trial. And no trial is joyous, but grief is a hard trial. And people get bitter and mad against God. I don't understand why he did that. I can't figure it out. Why did he do that? Sure, it's a bad way to it. Get bitter. They leave. See that? But bless God, I've seen people endure. Well, we just read Hebrews 11. Anyway. Well, that would be called upon to endure more than they did. By faith, they died in faith. Beware lest the root of bitterness spring up in you against God. He's too wise to err, too good to do. Knows what you and I need better than we do. Root of bitterness against God. Root of bitterness toward others, toward each other. I tell you, just a little feeling of bitterness toward a brother or sister keep you from the gospel. And I've said this before. One cheap way to keep people from hearing the gospel, get mad at the preacher. Before you get mad at the preacher, you definitely won't come. And some do. Some get mad and leave, you know. And like I said, you know, all of us, me especially, offensive. But you can't leave. So how can you leave somebody, you know, we profess to love God, Christ our life? How can you leave? You can't. Profess to love Christ, the gospel. Profess to love them above Christ, the gospel. How can you leave? You can't. That's just a fact. You can't. They went out from us, but they're not over. Beware this root of bitterness. Do you know what he did? Well, he's a peacemaker. That root of bitterness brings up trouble too. Many in the Bible. Root of, and it goes on and on, root of imperialism. Worldliness. Root of sin, just many roots. And Esau, he talked about Esau being fornication. Fornication, physical. Lust of flesh, just all consuming. All consuming. And so is spiritual fornication. World, that is. Adultery, that's what God calls being consumed with the world. Spiritual adultery, it's just all consuming. The world, consuming. Everything about it, consuming it. It's a hole that sucks you in. Beware, he said. Beware. Oh, and in the end, he said, Esau, in the end, sought repentance. He wanted to. He wanted to change. Repentance means change. He wanted to change. And he cried. Please. Could not change. Why? Because you can't change. Right, we can't change. Can't change ourselves. Who can? Looking diligently. And he's found right here. Christ is found right here. Put your feet straight path, looking diligently, unless the root of bitterness springs up. And then you seek repentance and can't change. The only one that can change it. And this change, and he's changing us. See, but that's what this gospel is doing, it's changing us. Conforming, transforming, changing us. From Adam to the second Adam. All right, I hope that was some words of faith. Many words of warning, aren't they? Warning, what we all need. Need on that. And then, oh, let's look at it. It's out there. For ever present help in time of trouble. 24 hours a day. All right, stand with me. Our Lord, we ask you to heal our hands, our knees, and our feet. Oh, great physician. Oh, balm of Gilead. We pray that you would take this balm, the healing balm of your word, a salve, apply it on our eyes and ears, hearts, hands, knees, and feet. Lord, all over. Peter said, wash us all over, especially our feet. We pray, shod us, we pray, with the preparation of the gospel of peace. May we be made like Christ. Cause us to follow peace with all that hold him. We want to see you. We pray. Forgive us, we pray, in that blood which was shed for the remission of our sins. And wash us with the water of your word, we pray. In Christ's name, amen. You're dismissed.